fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck. We're going to continue today to talk about an important theme, I think one that I want to talk about almost every week. It's laying hold of who we are in Christ, laying hold of our identity, the foundation of everything in this life that will lead us to happiness, fulfillment, peace, confidence, clarity about who we are. It's about our identity. We're daily consumed, and in some ways, as it should be, with a understanding of what needs to be done each day, what our responsibilities are, what we're trying to accomplish, and what dreams and goals we may have. All good stuff if it's rightly ordered to Christ. But as I mentioned yesterday, what's most important for us is to be able to put first things first. The temptation is always to put secondary things first. What matters most, maybe the simplest way to put it, is again, as I mentioned yesterday, is what matters most and how we ought to start each day, each and every day, is start with the thing that matters most. What matters most is not what we're supposed to do for God or all the things on our checklist today that we're supposed to accomplish. The most important thing every day is to remember what God's done for us, what he's done for us in Christ, who he's made us, the treasure that we carry in earthen vessels. If you didn't have a chance to tune into yesterday's program, you could go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there, and make sure to listen to the whole program as well today, tomorrow. Still giving away the free booklet, Light in the Darkness. It's been a booklet that I think lots of people have appreciated. It's helped them see more clearly about what it is we're facing in the culture today, and how we can live with the peace and confidence that comes to us in Christ. Sometimes I marvel reading the New Testament, reading what the apostles lived through, the burdens they carried, the intensity of their responsibility, the constant opposition they experienced to the gospel, just what Jesus said, and ultimately the persecutions, the rejection, the trial, the humiliations, the things that came to them as they moved in deeper and deeper every day into God's will. You think about how difficult it is just in daily life for us to just have one little thing go wrong, or to have somebody look at us sideways, or somebody slightly mistreat us, maybe say something about us that's hurtful or harmful. Think about how much it can literally stop you in your tracks, or how much it can affect you for days, slow you down. It can affect your experience of life, your self-image, and the rest of it. All can be tied up in these kinds of things. And look at the apostles and their relationship to the world. Their main focus, and the reason they could endure literally anything that the world could serve up to them, they could endure it in joy and in peace and literally rejoice when it seemed like everything's going wrong. Paul's thrown into jail again. He's been whipped again, or he's been beaten again, and he's in a cold, lonely jail with other prisoners around them, despairing, discouraged, angry, frustrated, hopeless. And what does he do? He sings hymns. He shares the gospel with people who are with him. He has a joy within him that it just flows out of him. He has an identity and a security that has almost no relationship to the circumstances around him. The circumstances of his life don't dictate who he is. Why? Because his identity, the foundation of who he is not dictated by circumstances, and it's not dictated by what he accomplishes. It's not dictated by what other people think of him. It's not dictated by the size of his bank account. It's not dictated by the neighborhood he lives in, how many awards he has in his trophy case, what he's accumulated in life. It's got nothing to do with it. Because what he knows is that he's discovered in Christ, it's been given to him. It's been revealed to him, an understanding so deep and so profound of who he actually is. He's a son of God, made by God, made for God. And he knows he's inhabiting a fallen and a broken world, a world that's literally going to pass away. all that he sees and all that he touches, he knows will pass away. So everything here on earth, no matter how much it glitters, how much it's valued by people, he knows it's secondary. He knows it's not going to last, but he knows there's something in him. There's something different about him. He and the other people he sees, he knows indeed we are going to last. We're the only thing on this planet that's destined for eternity. So therefore, every single person is more valuable than everything else here on earth, because everything else will pass away. He knows we're destined. We're made. We're eternal creatures right at our core. But we're eternal creatures that are fallen, lost, alienated, confused about who we are. But in Christ, he understands and he sees. There's a beautiful quote from Cardinal Ratzinger, who became Pope Benedict XVI. He was talking about the core and the essence of the Christian faith. It's a way of seeing. It's a way of seeing reality as it is. It's a way of knowing, a way of understanding. It's a way of seeing ourselves. Why? Here's what he said. In its innermost essence, the Christian faith is a participation in the act whereby Jesus sees. His act of seeing makes possible his word, which is the authentic expression of what he sees. Accordingly, what Jesus sees is the point of reference for our faith, the specific place where it is anchored. So our faith is anchored in Jesus' seeing. What does he mean by that? What does Jesus see? Well, first of all, he sees the Father. He sees God as he is. He has a relationship with God. He knows God. He understands God. And as he walks through this world, he sees God on a daily basis. He not only sees God's creation, but he knows his way of seeing is a way of knowing. And what he knows is that he is God's beloved Son. And that's the ground of his identity. He receives his identity. He doesn't achieve it. He doesn't create it. It's not something he makes, but it's what he's received. And so Jesus sees the Father. What does he see? That God is love, that his Father is love. And he knows he's been sent to the earth. He knows he's been sent by the Father to take on human flesh, to come and help us see. To see who we are, to see why we're here, to see our purpose, where we're going, where we can find true happiness and fulfillment. So he wants us to see him. He said, if you see me, you see the Father. The one who sees me sees the Father. The most important thing Jesus wants us to see is the Father. That's why he's come to us, so that he could deal with everything that blinds us and makes it impossible for us to see the Father as he is. The inability to see God in truth, the inability to know who we are and to be united to God in the way Jesus is really the definition of fallen humanity. It's what it means to be fallen, separated from God. It's a state of alienation, and it's real, and it's enslaving, and it's rooted in sin and rebellion against God. And that's why Jesus came. He had to do more than simply take on human flesh and tell us about God and tell us about ourselves. The heart of Jesus' message is God's love, and that love is revealed in a particular way. It's a love that's come for our sake. He's come to lay down his life for us. He's come to solve the fundamental problems that dominate human life. The sin problem, which produces the death problem. Those are the deepest problems we face. Everything else that we face in this world is the result of those things. So wars, which are terrible, we need to deal with, sickness, disease, broken families, broken relationships, drug addiction, you name it. All the things that are concretely problematic for us are only expressions of the reality of a fallen world that's in alienation from God. And as the beloved Apostle John said, the whole world's in the power of the evil one, that there's literally, I mentioned this last week, Satan, a real being, fallen, seeking to destroy us, separate us from God, and to forever cause us to live in darkness and separation and alienation. To keep us blinded is what the apostles say. To veil our eyes so we cannot see what Jesus sees. What we see in Jesus, in the love that's revealed in Jesus, is that he has to come and sacrifice his life to make it possible for us to see and to become something that we're not. In his death on the cross, we see the Father's love. We see that God is love. He's come to lay down his life for us. On the cross, we can see what sin is. Sin is deadly. It's the refusal of God and God's will. Jesus came as the incarnation of God's will and spoke God's word to us and his good news. And what do? We silenced him. We killed him. And we can see ourselves and the reality of sin within us. That love came and we said no. We want everything on our terms. We don't want to have to take it on the terms that Jesus communicated to us. He called us to repent, to change. He said that we have sin-sick hearts and it's leading literally to our death and destruction and to our eternal death. And we see in Jesus what it means to be human. To ultimately be human in its fullest expression here on earth and to reach our ultimate fulfillment and destiny is to live in total and radical obedience to God the Father, is to live like a child of God, to live with a heart that's absolutely trusting in him, no matter what he commands us to do. We put all our eggs in his basket because we know who we are, we know we belong to him, we know he's a loving Father who has plans for our good and wants to restore us to glory, all of that. And so obedience to the Father is the way we love. We say yes, and we exercise the freedom he's given us toward that relationship. And we live the relationship. We don't live like aliens and strangers. We don't live like we're running from an angry, vengeful God. We live as children, people who've been born again by water and the Spirit, and we imitate Jesus, and we follow him. And we look at the Father as he looks at him. So again, I just want to read this passage at the end of today's show from Cardinal Ratzinger. In its inner essence, the Christian faith is a participation in the act whereby Jesus sees. A person of faith is someone who's participating in how Jesus sees reality. And so how we see, the choices we make, how we live are all guided by this fundamental principle of faith, and that faith in a person, Jesus, and receiving reality on Jesus' terms. It's the only way to human freedom. It's the only way to eternal life. It's the only way even to fulfillment on this earth. It's because Jesus alone understands who you are, and Jesus alone can make you see it, can help you see it, enable you to see it, so you can become everything you were made to be. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.